Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Pesachim Nun Vav. We're at the Mishnah, at the bottom of Nun Hei Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, four lines from the bottom, Shisha Dvarim Osu Anshe Yerichai. It was six things, six practices, practiced by the people living in Yerichai, which were controversial. Now, they're divided into two categories. Those six things are divided into two. Al Shloisha Micha B'yadim, on account of three of those things that they did, the Chachamim protested, it evoked opposition. Va'al Shloisha Lo Micha B'yadim, however, on the other three things that they did, although it was controversial, but did not elicit an active response and protest on account of the Chachamim. Apparently, there were two different levels here. Some things were more severe than others, and those generated a mecha as opposed to the first sequence. It says the Mishnah, Ve'elu hein shloi micha b'yadam, the following three things that they did not generate a mecha. Number one, markivin de kolam kol hayom. They would engage in harkava and grafting of their palm trees. In Yerichai, there was an abundance of palm trees we learned earlier. So they would engage in the harkava process throughout the entire day. Which day? The entire day of Erev Pesach. Although we know that in all locales, they would refrain from halacha, at least from Chatzos onward. But they held, the people in Yerichai held that was on account of the fact that you are makriv the Karban Pesach at that point. But it doesn't apply outside Yerushalayim, out in Yerichai. They don't have to abide by that issur halacha. Therefore, they would engage in this type of malacha throughout the entire day. Chacham disagreed. Of course, they held that this halacha of refraining from malacha after Chatzos and Erev Pesach is universal. We don't differentiate between one place and the other. But they let it go. V'karach Shema. Number two, they rapped Shema. And we'll give us several explanations as to what this means. V'koytshin v'goytshin l'fnei Omer. Not only would they actually cut their grain before the Omer was brought on the 16th day of Nisan, which is really mutim in HaTorah, as Rashi explains, because although generally the first harvesting is meant to be for the Omer, that only applies to a field which can potentially supply the Omer material, as opposed to a low-grade, low-quality field, such as the fields out in Yerichai, which were in a valley, which wasn't so hospitable for the grain. And therefore, in that location, Minat Torah, you can go ahead and begin harvesting, even before the Omer. So that was okay. But in addition to Ketzira, they did Gedisha, they were Goydish, they formed them into bundles, and that's Aser. There's a concern that while he's involved in processing the grain, he might actually eat it, and at that point it was still Aser, right? Because it was before the Omer was brought. So they did it regardless, Koytrin v'Goydishin of the Omer, and Chachamim let it go. Ve'elu Shemicha v'Yadam. What were the three things that evoked opposition and protest? Things that can lead to an Isadai Raisa, which were considered more severe, more serious. Matirin Gamzia Shel Hegdash. They would allow use of the additional growth in the Hegdash tree. So let's say they were Magdash, a tree, the Gemara says a carob tree, a sikma tree. And then it grew. Some branches got added after the Hegdash was activated. They held, well, the Hegdash only applies to what was there during the time of Hegdash, but not something which grew afterwards. They allowed the use of the additional growth. And they would eat the fruit which dropped under the trees. So Nisharim is things which dropped down. And even if it was on Shabbos, in which case it was attached to the tree, during Ben Hashmashes, they would eat from it, and they will explain to give us the background of this halacha. They would allow eating fruit which was found under the tree on Shabbos. And the third thing was, the nice and pale yurk. They would allot peya, the portion given to the ani, even from vegetables, which are exempt from peya. What was wrong with that? Says Rashi, because peya, if it's legitimate peya, is really pater from Trumas and Maser. Now this peya wasn't really legally peya. And now the ani would take it and not address the Trumas and Maaser, thinking that it's peya. So that leads to pitfall, eating tevel. U'micha b'yadam chachamim, on account of these concerns, chachamim w'moicha. when it came to the last three items on the list. So they did six things in total. Three were let go, and three generated a macha. Continues the Gemara. Once we mention things and lists, we're going to have another list. Tanu Rabban. Shisha Dvarim Asa Chizkiyah HaMelech. There were six things that Chizkiyah HaMelech did. He was a tzaddik. Six things he did. Al Shloisha Hoideloi. On three things the Chachamim were Moida. They agreed to him. They went along with it. Al Shloisha Loi Hoideloi. However, when it comes to the other three things, the Chachamim were not Moida. They didn't agree with what he did. Says the Braisa, number one, Gireir Atzmois Aviv Al Mita Shachavalim. He dragged his father. His father, who was a Rasha. Achas. He dragged his bones in a disrespectful manner, on a mita made of rope. And they agreed it should be a message to other Rishayim, which will learn a lesson and do tshuva. And this will be his chus for his father. They agreed with him. When he crumbled up, he ground up the copper serpent, which was used in the Midbar to save the Yisrael from the snakes. What happened was that there were some people that followed this thing, and they attributed supernatural powers to this copper nechash hanachoshes. Therefore, he ground it up to get rid of it. And they agreed. It was commendable. Something that they were proud of. It was the right thing. Gonaz Sefer Refuos Vodiloi. He went ahead and hid the book which contained all the medicines for various illnesses, which was authored by Shlomo HaMelech. What happened was that Klal Yisrael would just follow the book and the illness, which is meant to bring a person to submit himself to Hashem, to do tshuva, didn't really accomplish what it was supposed to do. The person just went ahead and took care of it by finding the remedy and getting cured. So he hid the sefer, and they agreed with that. However, regarding the following three things, the Chacham did not agree with his practice. He chopped off the gold doors of the Hechel, v'shigron l'melech Asher. He sent it off to the king of Asher, who imposed a fine on Chizkiyah. So Shigron, he sent them off to him to pacify him. V'lo yehoidloi, I didn't agree with this, because he should have trusted in Hashem, who promised he's going to protect the city. Sasa megichna elyayin. He plugged up the upper Gichayin stream in order to deprive the army of Sancher from their water supply. They didn't agree with that. He shouldn't have gone to such drastic measures. He should have trusted Hashem. Iber Nisan ben Nisan, he added an extra month to the year when it was already too late. It was already the 30th day of Adar, which can potentially become Nisan. At that point, you can no longer make Iber. He did so. I didn't agree with what he did. Let's take a look at Rashi. Begins three lines from the top of the Amud. Gemara. Kirir atzmas aviv. Mishum kapara. For atonement. V'loi kavroi b'chavoi b'dargoi shemitanoi. He didn't treat him respectfully. Ne kiddush Hashem. She is gan al rishay. So that he isn't as gan. He's treated disrespectfully on account of his rishis. V'yivas al rishayim. And the other rishayim will take less. Kiteis nechash nechashis. Why? L'fisha hayu toyim achrav. Because people would follow it and attribute high powers to it. What does that mean? Why did he hide it? The illness would not have the proper effect on the person. It wouldn't bring them to tshuva. They go immediately and look up the refuah and get cured. And he closed up the gichayin stream. Why didn't they agree with this move? Should have trusted Hashem. Shneamar, I'll protect the city. Continues the Gemara. Markivin the kolam kolayim. So getting back to the Anshe Yerichai, six controversial things they were involved with. The first three did not elicit a response. The second three did. Let's go through the list. Number one, from those three things which were not protested against, loy micha biyadam. First one is Markivin de Kolam Hayayim. Kol Hayayim, they will go ahead and graft their palm trees on Erev Pesach. Echi Avdi, what exactly would they do? Amar Avida, Maisi Asa Dara. They will bring a moist myrtle and hadas, Vishicha de Daphna, with beer from this type of fruit. the kimcha, the sa'ari, together with barley flour, the rami b'mana, which was sitting in a kli, the lechalfi alei arba'in yomim. So this flour was not 40 days, less than 40 days since it was ground. So these three ingredients were taken, they would cook them up together, and they would pour it into the heart of the palm tree. Any other tree which was situated within 4 amis of this tree, they wouldn't apply this process to that tree as well, it would immediately dry up. So apparently this process was beneficial for their trees, and this is what they engaged in on Erev Pesach. Rav Achber de Rav Amar, he has a different description of what they did. Manchi kufra dichra, they would take a branch from a dichra, from a zachar palm tree, which produced dates, lunukmosa, and insert it into the nikeva palm tree, which had difficulty producing fruit. And this would encourage it to bear fruit. Virkorchen and shema, they would wrap shema. Hechi avdi, what exactly would they do? We have three opinions. Amar, Rav Yehuda, Omrim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, V'lohim Afsikin. Rashi learns that they would go straight from Shema Yisrael to V'ahavta without a pause. And you meant to stop between Shema Yisrael, which is an acceptance of Omach HaShemayim upon oneself, and V'ahavta, Es Hashem Elokecha, which is in the Lashon Tzivui. It's sending a different message. It's a different concept. You meant to pause between the two things. They didn't. They went straight from one to the other. Rav Amar Mafsikin Hayu. They would actually pause. Ella. When it came to the next pasuk, they would just continue without that slight pause. What's wrong with that? Because it sounds like the words of Hashem should be on your heart today, but not tomorrow. You want to execute a slight pause in order that it's expressed properly. Tana Rabban. How would they wrap Shema? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, v'lohayim afsikin, without a pause between Shema and v'ahavta divrei Rav Meir. So Rav Meir is actually in line with Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora mentioned earlier. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, this is another version of events. Ma'afsikin hayu. Yeah, they would pause between Shema and v'ahavta. Hello. Shelo yoyu Omerim baruch shem k'vayit ma'achus ha'olam bo'ed. They would skip that pasuk. So we have in total 3 pshatim of Korchen Shema. Either they go straight from Shema to Bahafta, Hayayim al Levavecha without a pause, or skip Baruch Shem. Says the Gemara Va'anan, my timer Amrinan Le. Actually, come to think of it, why do we say Baruch Shem? Take a look in the Chumash, in the parasha of Shema Yisrael, there's no mention of Baruch Shem there. Why do we insert it right in the middle of our Kriyishma? Kedadorish, Rabbi Shimon Melokish. Domer Shimon Melokish. Vayikra Yaakov al-Bonav. Yaakov even called his Shvatim. Vayoyim Arios will gather together. Vagid Lechem. And I'll reveal to you. What was he revealing? Bikesh Yaakov legalus levonav. Keitz Hayom. He wanted to reveal to them the end of Golas. The Keitz, the end of Yaman, where Hashem, during Golas, so to speak, keeps his right hand behind him. He doesn't express his full strength and glory. When is that going to end? When is the darkness going to end? That's what he wanted to tell them. The Shekhinah left him. He no longer had the ability to tell them and to foresee the future. Omar, so now he was dumbfounded. He said, Shema chas v'sholom yesh v'metosi psul. Perhaps amongst my descendants, there's somebody unfit. Unfit for the presence of Shekhinah. That's why Shekhinah left me. Avram, just as my grandfather Avram, Ishmael came out of him, who was a psul, a psulus of Avram Avinu, and similar to my father, Avi Yitzchak, Shiatzmenu Esav. Perhaps I also have a similar phenomena. Amr leibonav, so his children and his shvatim turned to him and said, "No, not at all. We're all complete in our emuna, in our commitment to you, to Hashem." Amr leibonav, Shema Yisrael. Listen, Yisrael here is in reference to Yaakov Avinu, who is also called Yisrael. Listen to us, Yisrael, our father. Hashem aleikenu, Hashem echad. Amru, they were telling him, Keshem she'im b'libcha ele echad. Just like in your heart, it's one, it's committed completely to Hashem's oneness. Kach ein belibenu ala echad. Likewise, in our hearts, we're committed to Hashem's oneness, completely committed. When Yaakov Avinu heard this, he had much nachas. Boisa Shah, at that moment, Pasach Yaakov Avinu v'amar. He exclaimed as follows, Baruch Shem, Kivoid Malchusai. The Malchus of Hashem, the kingdom of Hashem is Baruch. Look, my children, they are the kingdom of Hashem. They're complete. Lo'olam v'od. Now, Amri Rabban had a dilemma. They said like this, Heichi Navid. How should we proceed? Noimru. Should we mention Baruch Shem together with Krishma? We have a problem. Why? Loi Amroi Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu did not mention Baruch Shem in the Chumash. So how could we go ahead and insert a pasuk of Baruch Shem into the parasha of Krishma, mentioned in the Torah, where it doesn't really seem to belong? Now, Loi Namru, should we ignore it and not say it at all? Amroi Yaakov. Yaakovinu did say it. So, which way do we go? So they found the compromise. His kinu, shiyu eimru ma'ase b'chashai. They established that it should be said quietly, just as we say today. So you say it, but you don't say it loudly. You don't create that apparent interruption in the parasha of Krishna. Amar b'yitzchak, amri d'vei Rabbi Ami. In the Beis Midrash of Rabbi Ami, they compare it to the following scenario. Moshe l'bas melech, it's compared to a princess, she'richa tzikei kedera, who smelled a good smelling dish. Im taimer, now if she'll express her desire for that food, yesh lo gnai, it's disrespectful for her, it's something unbecoming to go ask for food. Loi taimer, if she'll refrain from asking, yesh lo tzar, she'll experience discomfort. So, she has a dilemma. So what happened? Hischilu avodeh, so servants began bringing to her quietly, secretly. This way she has the food without the embarrassment. Explains the Chasam Sofer. Saying Baruch Shem Kohen Ochsoy out loud perhaps is an indication that our Emuna was put into question. We have to clear things up. So it's a tsar. It's disrespect. It's a discomfort for us to present ourselves in that light. But we want to say it. We want to shabeach Hashem and commit ourselves completely to Hashem, so we say it quietly. Omar Rabbi Avo, hiskinu she'omrim oisei b'kol rom v'mnei taroim esaminen. So initially it was said quietly. We whispered Baruch Shem, but then on account of the taroim esaminen, the complaints of the heretics, who would say, "Well, what are they saying over there?" First they say Shema Yisrael out loud, Hashem is one, and then they whisper something. Perhaps they're undercutting what they're saying out loud, and they're revising it. So on account of that challenge of the minim, it changed the thing and it began saying it out loud. This way they see clearly what we're trying to say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, and we follow with the proclamation that we're all committed to Hashem. Now Ubenardo the Lek Minim, in the town of Nardo, where there were no minim present, so we had no concern. Therefore, ad hashto amri lo b'chashai, even up to today, we continue to say Baruch Shem quietly. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabban. Getting back to the six things that the people in Yerichai did. Shisha dvarim osu anshe Yerichai. Shloisha b'ritzoin chachamim. Three things were actually done with the consent of the chachamim. Rashi says, perhaps they didn't actively consent, but they weren't makpid. So that was the first three. However, the next three were done without their approval and consent. The following three things were done with the ratzon chachamim. Markivin the kolam kol hayom. So this process that they applied to the palm trees, they would do it throughout the Erev Pesach. V'korin chanesh Shema. They would wrap the Shema, as we mentioned earlier. V'koytrin lefnei Omer. And harvest their grains before the Omer. V'elu sheloi b'tzen chacham. The following three were done without the ratzon chacham. Goytrin lefnei Omer. So although Ktzira was done with the ratzon chacham, but not goytrin. Because, as Rashi explains, true, you can go ahead and cut. There's no concern because the low-grade grain found in Yericho was not suatable to supply the Omer. So Minatar, you can go ahead and harvest that grain before the Omer. But what about perhaps inadvertently eating that produce, which was still Asr at this point, it was Chadash, until the Omer was brought. So when it came to cutting, Chacham allowed. Because there was a hefsed, potential loss involved. They would leave it out in the fields, it would dry up, low quality fields, which wouldn't sustain its content. So on account of hefsed, Chacham allowed them to engage in harvesting the grain. But when it comes to bundling, there's no reason for that. There's nothing to justify that. You just leave it out there until the Omer is brought, and then bundle it up. Don't get overly involved, for you might, by mistake, eat that stuff. So these things were Shaloi B'Tzen Chacham. Goyitshin L'Fnei Omer. Not only did they cut, they actually bundled. And this was Shaloi B'Tzen Chacham. U'Pertzin Pertzis B'Ginei Sein U'Pardei Sein. They would make Pertzis. Breach these, the breaches, openings to their gardens and orchards. No, to allow easy access for poor people. L'Hachel N'Shar L'Aniyim. To feed those fallen fruit to the Aniyim B'Shnei Batzeris. The times of drought, b'shabosayis u'b'yom tovim. So far it's very similar to the Mishnah. Bo'ichel metachas anisharim, they would allow the poor people to enter their fields and eat fruit which was sheared off the trees on Shabbos and Yom Tov. U'matirin gamzia shel hegdish, they would allow use of the growth, the added growth, the added branches of the hegdish trees, shel chorav v'shel shikma, the carob trees and the shikma trees, the birmeir. So according to Rav Meir, the six things are divided as follows. Three things were b'ritzoin chachamim, with the consent, approval, and three things without the ritzon chachamim. Interesting that he leaves out the payah, which was given to the yarek. So that's Rav Meir's sheet. Omar Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda actually seems to be the sheet of our Mishnah. He challenged Rav Meir like this. You begin by saying that three things were done with the approval, Ratzon Chacham. Rashi says, Chacham were not makbid. Im Ratzon Chacham ayoysen. Those things were done with the Ratzon Chachamim. So why only them? You, Kaladam ayoysen ken. Everybody should follow suit. If it's commendable behavior, then why only the people in Yericho? Ela, 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 Shaloi Ratzon Chacham. Apparently, both categories, the first and last three, were really Shaloi Ratzon Chacham. Something controversial. Shaloi Ratzon Chacham ayoysen. But they're still considered two separate levels as far as severity. And therefore, when it comes to eliciting a response, the first three did not generate a mecha, whereas the second three, which can lead to Issa D'Oraisa, did generate mecha. But both were really something, things that were not meant to be done. Al-Shloisha Micha B'Yadam, the first three, they garnered a mecha. Al-Shloisha Loi Micha B'Yadam, on the other three, they did not. Mecha, against the Anshei Yericho. Ve'elu shloi micha b'yadam. On the following three, the Chacham were not moicha. Markivin t'kolim kol hayoyim. They would graft their palm trees and their Pesach, b'karach neshma. Ve'koytrin, ve'goytrin l'fnei Omer. So according to him, the koytrin and goytrin belong on this side of the equation. They were things that should not have been done, but did not generate a mecha. Ve'elo shemicha b'yadam, regarding the following three, the Chachamim did apply a mecha. Matirin gamzias shel hegdish, shel chorav shel shikma. They would take the growth, the branches of the trees of the hegdish. U'pertzin pritzis b'ginei sein, u'pardis sein. La'achal nishar, l'anim b'shabasas, v'yom m'tovim b'shnei batzeris. That's what we mentioned earlier. They would break open their gardens to allow traffic to come through, to enjoy the nishar, the fallen fruits, on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Nois and pale yarek, and they would allot peah, even from vegetables. U'michu b'yadam chachamim. And when it comes to the last three items on the list, chamu maicha, these things are very closely related to Isser. Taking the branches off the hegdish tree, eating fruit that fell off a tree on Shabbos, and pay it from the Yorek, as mentioned earlier in the Mishnah, because you're exempting it from Trumas and Maisers. So on these three, the Chacham were Maicha. And indeed, it seems that Rabbi Yehuda is compatible with our Mishnah. That all six things were controversial things, but three things generated Mecha, and the other three things did not. And we include the Pale Yorok. Says the Gemara, we're going to have a Kash. V'sav Rabbi Yehuda, k'tzira shlebitzen chachamim hi? Is that the case? That Rabbi Yehuda really listed k'tzira, cutting the grain and bundling the grain in this brisa, in which everything is shlebitzen chachamim. Right? He held that everything was controversial. On some things they earned a mecha, some things they didn't. But everything was shloi b'tzun chacham, was not meant to be done, really. Is that so? That ksira, even just cutting, harvesting the grain, was shloi b'tzun chacham in Yericha, which wouldn't supply the omer in any case? Is that so? But tanan, we looked in a Mishnah in Menachos, that it's perfectly mutter. Achi Yericha, kaitrin l'fnei ha'omer b'tzun chacham. So ksira is fully mutter. The goitchim of Ne'omer, Shleib Tzach Chacham. Okay, when it comes to goitchim, bundling, that was Shleib Tzach Chachamim, as we explained, because there's no hefsim involved, there's nothing to lose by just leaving it out there, and don't get involved because you might eat it, fine. But when it comes to goitchim, it was done with a full approval of the Chachamim. So goitchim was Tzach Chacham, goitchim was Shleib Tzach Chacham, but let me be able to Chacham. Okay, the Chachamim were not Meicha, even when it comes to goitchim. But we do see that Ksira was fully approved. In contrast with the Brisa I mentioned earlier, where it seems that according to Yehuda, even Ksira was Shaloi B'Tzon Chacham. Now, how do we know that this Mishnah here is Rabbi Yehuda? There's no name attached to it. So let's take a close look at the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, V'loi Micho B'Yadim Chachamim. Chacham did not protest. Man Shamasle de Amar Micho V'lo Micho. Who is the man de Amar? Who employs this terminology. Michu, loy michu, it's not Rabbi Meir, who didn't relate to michu and loy michu. By him it was b'rtzoy chachamim and shloy b'rtzoy chachamim. It was Rabbi Yehuda who introduced this term of michu and loy michu. So apparently this Mishnah as well, Mishnah Menachos, mentioned in the bottom of the Amud, is Rabbi Yehuda because it includes a reference to this term of michu. Man shamas le damer micha v'lo micha. Who is this man damer? Rabbi Yehuda. Uktani kaitrin beratzon chacham. The Mishnah clearly says that they would harvest their grain beratzon chacham, in contrast with the brisa, which says otherwise. Says the more v'li tamech. Now according to you, who seems to attribute reliability to that first brisa, considered to be a genuine, reliable brisa. And that forms the basis of the stira, right? According to you, let's take a close look at that first price. Avida tells us, everything was shleber tzach chacham. However, we have two categories. Some things generated mecha, and some things didn't. What were the things that did not generate mecha? So the Brisa says, Markivin Kolom Kolayim, number one, Vikurchna Shema, number two, Vikoitrin, number three, Vikoitrin, Lufnei Omer. So you have four in total. Aren't you supposed to have three? We're listing three things which didn't generate Mecha. And the Brisa gives us four things. So apparently it's an unreliable Brisa. Lo Tamech, according to you, Hani Arbohava. We have four things here, if you're going to include Ktsira. Ella, Sami Mekan Ktsira. Apparently, you have to delete the word Ktsira from here. Take it off the table. So the three things which did not generate Mecha were Marakiv and Tkolim, Koyuch and Eshma, and Goichin with Nei Omer. Although it was something undesirable, not meant to bundle, but it didn't evoke Mecha. But Ktsira doesn't belong on the list. You know why? Because we have a Mishnah. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Anshei Yerichai, who wouldn't supply the Omer in any case, were allowed to go ahead and cut their grain. B'rtzayin Chachamim. It was fully allowed. So there's no Ktsira altogether here. We removed the Ktsira from the Braisa, because Ktsira is Mutal Chachila. Continues the Gemara. Umatirin Gamzei Shel Hegdish Shel Chorov v'shel Shikma. Now we have the three things which did generate Machah. The people in Yerichai, who were apparently learned people, as we're going to see, they had a back and forth with the Rabbanim, they were mater, the use of those branches, which grew on the Hegdash tree, on the Chorov tree, on the Shikma tree. Why? What was the justification for the Heter? Amru, they said like this, Avayisenu, our forefathers, Laigdishu alakuris. They were only maglish the barks of the tree, the actual tree. V'anu natir, gamzies, shel Hegdash, shel Chorov, v'shel Shikma. And therefore, the Hegdash doesn't apply to the gamzies, the added growth, the branches that come later. We're going to be mata those added branches. Ubigedulin haborn la'achar mekanaskin. We're speaking about growth that arrived later after the Hegdash was applied. And they followed the shita that there's no me'ila on something which grew when it was already in Hegdash's possession. Therefore, they allowed the use of these branches. Rabbanu Savri, Rabbanu said, okay, look, nihid me'ila leka. You're right. There's no me'ila in our Torah. Isur me'ika. However, this is the Rabbanu. It might lead to me'ila. So, you're not meant to go ahead and use those added gidulim, those branches. And this was considered to be a severe issa, which can lead to issa deraisa. And therefore, it justified a protest, a mecha, on account of the Rabbanu to the Anshei Yerichai. Upertz and pirtzois. So we learned that they would break open, they would throw their gates wide open to allow the aniyim to come collect some fallen fruits under the trees on Shabbos and Yom Tov during the time of dire need, the time of drought. Chacham didn't allow, and they were moicha against this practice. What is the basis of the machlekes? We have two versions. Amar Ula, Amar Pshim Malakish. He says like this. Machlekes b'shel machpedis. The machlekes between Anshei Yerichai and Chacham applied to dates found where? Up on top, on the machpedis, were the branches which were situated very close to each other on the top portion, upper portion of the palm tree. They call machpedis because they would be used as sweeping brooms. So dates found up there, which are very close to the other dates which are still connected to the tree. That was the point of their contention. Machlekes b'shel machpedis. The question is regarding those loose dates, which obviously fell off the tree, but was still sitting on those branches in close proximity to dates which were still attached. Couldn't you go ahead and partake in those dates which were detached? The Rabbanu Savri, no, they can't. Gazrina were concerned, Shama Yalav Yitlish. Since it's situated so far up, high up on the tree, you might climb up there and not only take those detached dates, but also pull off some dates from the tree itself on Shabbos and Yom Tov, which is a malach. Vanshi Richai Savri, they held no. Like Azrina, we're not concerned, Shama Yalav Yitlish. Therefore, they allowed consuming those of those dates sitting on the machbedis. We're not concerned that inadvertently he'll go pull off some dates from the tree. So that's regarding the dates sitting on the machbedis, up on top. Avo b'shel bin akipin divra kol mutar. However, regarding those dates which were resting bin akipin, Rashi explains these are the lower branches, the bottom portion of the tree, where there are no dates attached to the tree there. So dates fall off on the top and end off bin akipin on bottom. Divra kol mutar, all agree it's mutar because there's no concern of inadvertently pulling off dates from the tree. There are no dates attached at that point. Omale Rava, v'muktis ninu. Fine, you're not concerned that he's going to pull something off the tree. But what about muktza? Where were these dates to be found at the onset of Shabbos, at Ben HaShemashes, attached to the tree? That's called muktza, machmas iser, because you can't pull it off the tree. It's been set aside from Shabbos use. When it's muktzah ben hashmashes, it remains in the muktzah status throughout Shabbos. So how could everybody agree that the day it's sitting on the kippah on a mutter, a muktzah? V'chi teima, perhaps you'll say, they're not muktzah, you know why? Hoil de chazi lo ervin. Since it's roi, suitable for ravens, so let's say a person actually raises ravens in his home, or some of Farshim say, all of Klal Yisrael are considered like princes, bnei malachim, where it's appropriate for them to have these ravens as pets in their home. So this concept makes it muchan to all of Klal Yisrael, because the Irvin can go up there and pull it off, in which case it's no longer usher, it's accessible for the person, and he can eat it on Shabbos. So that removes the muktzah element. Again, since the Irv can climb up and pull it off. So since we have that option, this date, even if it's attached to the tree ben Ashmash, is not considered set aside, out of mind, out of sight, muktzah. Why? Because the Irv can potentially pull it off on Shabbos. So the person is, so to speak, awaiting that development, and it's considered to be designated for his use. It's considered as though he has access to that date. So is that the reason why it's not muktzah? So he said, well, you can't apply that rationale. You know why? That is not a sufficient reason to mitigate the muktzah concern. Why? Hash to muchan adam. Well, you have a muchan klavim, because since we find that something, although it is completely muchan, prepared, designated for the adam use, for human consumption, we say, well, it's not muchan for klavim. What does this mean? This not. Rabbi Daimer, if you have an animal, which is a nevel, im lo yoyis a nevel me'er Shabbos asura. If it was not yet a nevela on Erev Shabbos, meaning it came with a Shabbos as a living animal, and then it died on Shabbos, you can't feed it to the dogs. You know why? Because it's not prepared, it's not designated for klavim use. When Shabbos arrived, what was it designated for? You have a healthy, live animal designated for human consumption. It's considered off limits for klavim. Therefore, even if it actually dies on Shabbos, you can't feed it to the club because it was undesignated for this purpose. So since we find even something which was full-fledged food, it was muchan la'adam, that's not enough to give it, to grant it designation for club as well. If that's the case, muchan la'arvim, have a muchan la'adam? Can you even entertain that something which is merely muchan on account of ervim, the ravens have access to it, that will be enough reason to give it a designation, to make it muchan, designated for an adam, if it's only muchan la'irvim? If muchan la'adam doesn't work to allow to give it to a kelev, certainly if it's only muchan for irvim, that's not considered to be accessible and useful and prepared. So how can you go ahead and eat those dates which were attached to the tree during Ben Hashmashes? Amar Lei, Sula responds and says, look, yeah, exactly so. In, yes, muchan adam, love muchan klavim. Something prepared, designated for personal use, for human consumption, is not considered muchan klavim. It's off limits for dogs. You know why? You don't give away your own food. The kol midah dechazal inish, something which is suitable for personal use, lo mekatzli medayti. He doesn't set it aside. He doesn't want it to be used for klavim. So yeah, even though it's muchan adam, it is considered to be undesignated, unprepared for dog. However, in the reverse, it will work. Something which was accessible for Irvin is considered muchal adam. Why? Based on that very same reason. Because anything that a person can consume and have access to, his mind's on it. So since there's some potential access to this date, his Irv will climb up and pull it off, he already has that in his mind as considered to be muchan for his use. So the question was, what happened to muktzah? There's no muktzah here. Because although it was attached to the tree during Ben Hashmashes, but since an Irv can get a hold of it and pull it off, the Adam, his das, relates to it and is considered to be muchan, accessible, prepared, designated for even his use. This is Ula's approach. Again, when the dates are found up on top, where you can also find dates that are still attached, that's where the machlokes applies. The Anshei Richa says, no problem, go up there and pick those detached dates. Don't worry about the rest. We're concerned that he might go ahead and inadvertently pick something off the tree as well. Therefore, you're not meant to climb up to retrieve those dates. But all agree regarding the dates found on the bottom portion of the tree, there's no concern whatsoever. When Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he related a different approach. in the name of the very same Rav Shimon Lakish. He says, Machlekes b'shal ben kippin. Yeah, the Machlekes applies to those very dates found on the kippin, between those lower branches. It's a muktza Machlekes. Rabban Savri, Muchan lo'erim, lo'ev muchan adam. Rabban held, just as we presented here, that is a svar, that the fact that it's Muchan for Erevim, that doesn't make it Muchan le'adam. And therefore it's muktza. But actually, Rikhi Savri, they held no. Muchan le'erevim, muchan adam, even though it's only accessible for Erevim, but he has his mind on it. He still wants it. In his mind, he mentally prepared it for his own use. Therefore, it's not muktza. But that's only specific to the dates found on the lower portion of the tree, where there are no attached dates there. Aval b'shal machbedes, however, regarding those dates up on top, on the machbedes, the verakol asur, all agree that it's asur. Why? Gazrinon, we apply exeru, concern, shemayal v'itlish, we'll have to climb up there and pull off some attached dates as well. So in conclusion, we have two approaches to the difference of opinion regarding dates on the tree. We're speaking about something which was sheared on Shabbos, the Nishar. According to Ula, Machlokes applies to fruit sitting way up on the tree, within close proximity to fruit which are still attached to the tree. Chacham are concerned they might pull them off as well, therefore everything's off limits. The Ashi Richa were not concerned. But the ones found lower down, all agree, are mutter, there's no mukta concern. Whereas according to Ravin, the Machlokes applies to those fruit found lower down. According to Rabban, they're mukta, because they were attached to a tree on Ben Hashmashes, according to the Anshei Richai, the fact that an animal could pull it off, that renders it muchan. It's no longer muktzah, even for human consumption. But when it comes to the fruit found on top, near the attached fruit, all agree, that would pose a concern, and therefore it's us. What else did they do which generated a mucha? Says the Gemara, v'nois n'peah l'yorek. They would grant peah even from vegetables. Why? For less little Anshei Richai. Do the people in Richai not know the Mishnah? Hodas Nan, Klalomara Peah, Chacham established a general rule. Only something which conforms to these five conditions has a Chiva Peah. Kol Shu Oichel needs to be something which is edible. Vinishmar, something safeguarded and secure, not Hefker. Vigdulim and Arts, growing from the ground. Number four, Lukitasa Ka'achas. It's harvested all at once, not one. And then one tomorrow, and another one the next day. Machnis lekim, something which is sustainable, could be stored. Chayiv apeah. If it has all five conditions, it's a chayiv apeah. Explains the Gemara, what does this mean? Kol shu oichel is to be edible, prat, except for lesfiche, the wild growths of stis v'koitza, these types of plants, which are considered inedible. V'nishmar, what is that coming to exclude? Prat lehefker, something which is hefker, which is not safeguarded and secure. V'gedul v'aretz, what is that coming to exclude? Prat lekmeina pitri, these types of mushrooms. Ulkitosan ka'achas, it's harvested all at once. Prat leteinim, figs, you pick one today, one tomorrow. Taisus explains that it will involve great tircha for the aniyim to come and find one today, one tomorrow. Therefore, Chacham exempted this from peyo. U'machnis lekiyam, something which can be stored and secured. Prat leyor, except for vegetables, which don't have a long shelf life. And again, Taisus says, since it's not sustainable, something which lasts, therefore it's not something chashiv, and they didn't bother applying a chiv peah to this. In any case, we see that yarek is exempt from peah. So why did they insist on giving peah from yarek? Amar Vida Marav, you're right, it wasn't a general application to all types of vegetables. It was a very specific vegetable. Hacha b'rashe liftes askinim. Liftes are turnips. Now, turnip has a leaf. So the leaves of the turnips, who on their own don't have long shelf life, but when they're left on the turnip, they can be sustained for a while. The question here is, something which is maintained on account of its parent fruit, of its mother fruit, is that called machnis lekim? Again, the leaves on their own don't have a shelf life. It's only because they happen to be attached to the mother fruit. Is that called machnis lekim, which necessitates peah? That was the machlokes. The Anshei Richai said yes. Chachamim said no. Hacha b'rashei liftes askinam. We're speaking about the leaves of the lefes. U'machnis lekim al yidavar acher k'miflagi. Machlokes was regarding something which can be stored, by virtue of something else. The parent vegetable. Mar Savar. The people in Yerichai held. Machnis Lekim. Al Devar Acher. Shmekim. That's called stored. That's called sustainable. Omar Savar Lo Shmekim. That's not called something which has storage capacity. It's not on its own account, on account of the mother fruit. Therefore, the leaves of the lefes are potter from pear, but all agree that the actual turnip itself, which has a long shelf life, is chayv and pear. The chayv is only regarding the leaves. Tanur Rabban. Bori Shoina, initially, hayu naisen pear, the lefes lekruv. They would allot pear from the lefes. So we're speaking about the Anshi Rechay. They would give peah from the turnip leaves. Not only that, but also with a kruv, they would apply the halacha to kruv, to cabbage as well. Rabbi Yossi Aimer, af le kaflet. The same thing regarding this kaflet, this type of onion. They would apply peah to that as well. V'tani, we have another braisa. Hayu noisen peah, the lefes le kaflet. It will apply peah to lefes, turnip, and kaflet. Rav Shimon Amar af lekruv, also to kruv. So it would seem that Rav Shimon is coming to add to the list, not only lefes and kaflet, but kruv as well. So in total, three. Which is similar to Rabbi Yossi in the first brisa, where the Tanakhama said lefes and kruv, two items, and he added a third, kaflet. Rabbi Yossi and Rav Shimon seem to be aligned with each other, and they would give peah from all three, lefes, kruv, and kaflet. Whereas the other shittas here disagree. We have three shittas in total. Right? We have Rav Yosef Shimon, who maintained that for some reason they would apply peah to three items. But then we have a Tanakhama and Brisa 1, who only mentions lefes and kruv. That's another shittah. We have a third shittah, which is Tanakhama and Brisa 2, that they would only give peah from lefes and kaflet. So we have three shittas in total. It appears that the three shittas. Again, Tanakhama 1 says lefes and kruv. Tanakhama 2 says lefes and kaflet. And Rav Yosef Shimon both seem to agree that it applies to all three items, lefes, kruv, and kaflet. Neima tlosa tanayavu. Shall we say that indeed there are three tanaim reflected here? Says the Maharal, not necessarily. Trei tanayavu. There are really only two tanaim in total. How's that? There's really no shita that holds that the Anshei Richa would apply peah to all three items. It was only two of these three. And we have two shitas. One shita says lefes and kruv. And one shita says lefes and kaflet. How is that? So we have braisa number one, which says lefes and kruv. Rabbi Yossi Omer af le kaflet. What was he coming to say? He was coming to disagree. It's not lefes and kruv. Rather, you meant to add the kaflet to the lefes. Lefes and kaflet. Leave out kruv. So when he said af, he was saying, you mentioned lefes and something else. I want to add to the lefes a different item. Rather than your item, I want to add something else. So af le kaflet meant not only lefes, but also lefes and kaflet. Which is the Tanakhama in Braisa number 2, lefes and kaflet. Now, when Rav Shimon in Braisa 2 says af le kruv, he's actually Tanakhama Braisa 1, who says lefes and kruv. And he was coming to respond to his Tanakhama, who said lefes and kaflet, by saying, look, it's not lefes and kaflet. You're coming to add to lefes, add kruv, because it's lefes and kruv. So really, there are really two shitas here. Again, we have a shita which says lefes and kruv, and a shita which says lefes and kaflet, and that's it. There's no shita that applied pay to all three things. Three Tanai you have. They're really only two Tanai. The Tanakhama of Rav Shimon. The Tanakhama of Rav Shimon. So if we take a look at the Brises again, we have Brises number 2, where Rav Shimon is mentioned. His Tanakhama, who says lefes and kaflet, is actually Rav Yossi in the first Brises. Rav Yossi am afle kaflet. He was coming to add kaflet to the lefes. He held that it's lefes and kaflet. So the Tanakhama of Brises 2 and Rav Yossi and Brises 1 are one and the same. And the same thing with Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon, who in Braisa 2 says af le kruv, is merely coming to say, look, you said lefes and kaflet. It's not lefes and kaflet. It's lefes and kruv. And he is the same shita as a Tanakama, Braisa 1, who says Lafaz and Kruv. But said the Gemara, Tanakama, the Rav Shimon and Rav Yosi. Tanakama, Rav Shimon, and the second Braisa is Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi mentioned the first Braisa, who says Lefas and Kaflit. But Tanakama, the Rav Yosi, and the Tanakama, Rav Yosi, Braisa number 1, who says Lefas and Kruv. Hi, Rav Shimon. Is Rav Shimon, who in the second Braisa says Afla Kruv. Umay Af, what was he coming to say when he said Af? Akamaisa. He's coming to add to the first item on the list. Then a comma of his braisa says lefes and something else. Rav Shimon says stop right there. Afla kruv. It's lefes and kruv. So it's really only two shitas. Rav Shimon says lefes and kruv. Rav Yosi says lefes and kaflit. And apparently the Ashi Rikhi held that not only is the lefes, the leaves of the lefes, considered to be suitable candidates for pay, as we explained earlier, but apparently the other things as well, whether it's the kruv or the kaflit, for some reason they considered items that have long shelf lives, and they applied peya to these items as well. So in conclusion, let's make a chazor of today's daf. We discussed the six things that the Anshei Richa did. And according to our version, according to our Mishnah, which is Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, all six were done shaloi b'tzon chacham, without the consent and approval of the chacham. They weren't too happy about these practices. However, they picked their battles. When it comes to things which were not so severe, they chose not to protest. Loi michu. Examples of which are as follows. Markivin de kolom kalayoyim. They would put their palm trees through that process, some type of grafting process, and they would do it throughout the entire day of Erev Pesach, even though one is meant to refrain from malacha, at least after chatzos. They were korech neshma, of three pshatim, either they went straight from Shema to Vahavta without a pause, or Hayoyim Alu Vavecha without a pause, or they omitted Baruch Shem. Goichin of Omer. Not only did they cut their grain before the Omer, they also bundled. These three things were not meant to be done, but did not generate Macha. However, when it comes to the following three things, which are very close to Issa Deraisa, Chacham Wa Moichem, they were mati the growth, the branches that developed later on after Hegdash was applied to the tree. Gidulin habor la'achem mikan. The Anshei Richa held it's mut. Just as there's no me'ilah, it's mut. Chacham said there's no me'ilah, but it's still awesome. They would allow eating fruit which was sheared off a tree on Shabbos and Yantiv. There's two approaches. Either we're speaking about fruit found all the way on top, near those attached fruit. Chacham said, don't get involved. You might go detach some fruit. Anshei Richa, we're not concerned. According to the second approach, all agree that that would be us. We're speaking about fruit found on bottom, towards the bottom of that palm tree. In which case, the machlokes revolved around the muktzah topic. According to Chacham, it's muktzah because it was attached to the tree on Shabbos during Ben Hashemoshes. Anshei Richa held, well, if an animal could pull it off, the Irvin can access this fruit. That makes it muchan even for the other. And finally, they gave peah even from Yarak. The concern there was because it exempted it from Tumas and Maser, and it was unjustifiably exempt. It wasn't really paid because this type of yarak is pater from Tumas and Maser, and from it's pater from payah. And the Gemara concluded it was a very specific type of yarak. For instance, the leaves of the turnips. Now, although generally, for something to be chayv and payah, it needs to conform those five conditions. We have very specific guidelines. One of them being that it has to be machnis lekiyim, has to have a long shelf life. When it came to leaves of the turnip, the lefes, that was something that can be sustained. It can have a long shelf life on account of the mother fruit, kiyim the devar achar, which according to Anshei Richa was considered something sustainable. And therefore they held it was chayv and pay. Whereas Chacham held, since on its own those leaves would wither and did not have their own shelf life, kim al-dalavar acher loishme kim, and their putter from peah. We also learned about the background of the pasuk Baruch Shem Kodesh Baruch Hu that we recite during Krishma was something which was proclaimed by Yaakov Avinu when he saw that all his shvatim, all his descendants were holy and pure and high madrega. Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusay blesses Hashem's Malchus, Hashem's kingdom, Klal Yisrael, which represent Hashem's Malchus in this world. And we had a dilemma. Should we say it? Should we not? The conclusion was, we say it quietly, unless we're confronted with the concern of the minim, then we have no choice, and we say it out loud. Take care, be well, atzlacha rabbah.